In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What does it sound like when heaven's army gathers? When fiery-eyed angels don gleaming armor and prepare themselves for fight? What does it sound like when the battle horns of heaven rend the silence? When the archangel shouts and all of heaven's fiercest turn and follow Michael into war? What does it sound like, this cosmic battle, this spiritual warfare, this combat unimaginable? It sounds like a handful of water trickling off the brow of a little baby and back into the font. All we saw with our eyes moments ago was a handful of water tossed over Lexi's head. We did not see the holy angels of God swooping down over Lexi to cast out the unclean spirit and his evil horde. All we heard with our ears was a little bit of water trickling back to the font. We did not hear the holy angels shouting in victory over one little sinner whom God has saved. Nor do our eyes see or our ears hear what our Lord Jesus tells us is true. Do not despise one of these little ones, he says, for I tell you that their angels always see my Father's face. If we had eyes to see and ears to hear, we would know the great warfare of the angels. We would see the angels now stationed over Lexi and hear them sing. Angels watching over you and me and every child of God gathered here. For the scriptures plainly teach that we worship with angels. With angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, our liturgy echoes. Angels of unimaginable beauty and strength. Not the Hallmark kind of angels at all. The kind of angels who have to say to us, do not be afraid. Who do these fierce warriors worship? God, certainly, that's no surprise. But the scriptures say something that is surprising. These angels also worship a human being. The Word made flesh. God made man. Let all the angels worship him, the scripture says, him being Christ. You see, we desire to look into angels, but angels desire to look into the gospel of Christ and him crucified for you. Christ Jesus, then, is the center of the angelic world, just as he is the center of our own. For he is the express image of the invisible God. And he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. The scriptures say, ministering spirits sent out to serve all who are to inherit salvation. That means ministering spirits sent out this day to Lexi, for she will inherit salvation with us and with all who believe and are baptized into God's holy name. As our Lord Jesus himself says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. How kind, how gentle must these holy angels be if our Lord Jesus sends them to watch over even the littlest children. They are tender servants to you. You who have been washed from your sin in the blood of God's holy Lamb. You whom God himself has declared righteous in his sight. Tender servants to you, these angels. But fierce and terrifying and dreadful to every evil spirit who would dare get between you and your heavenly Father's arms. Yes, if we believe the word of God, if we believe what Jesus himself says, then there are angels around us all this morning. Angels that look after you each and every day. But ear does not hear, and eye does not see. This can only be believed. This can only be received in faith. And so it is with those baptismal waters. Eye cannot see, ear cannot hear. Only faith can comprehend what is really happening. Your eyes and your ears, they tell you, it's nothing special that happened today in this baptism. At most, it's just a sign. It's just a symbol. It's just a religious rite. But God's word tells you otherwise. Here in these waters, God himself washes away all sins, now and forever, and clothes you with the righteousness of Christ. Here in these waters, God himself saves you and rescues you from eternal death. Here in these waters, God destroys the power of the devil and sends his holy angels forth in war. For in baptism, Luther says, the devil becomes our mighty and lifelong enemy. From birth, we belong to the devil. But in baptism, God has claimed you as his own. He marks you with his own name. You belong to him. He snatches you out of the devil's fingers. You see, hidden under that little splash of water is a cosmic act of war. Therefore, Paul says, put on the full armor of God, the helm of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Gird your feet with the gospel. Take up the shield of faith that quenches the devil's fiery arrows, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Therefore, John says that you conquer the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by the word. He can harm you none. He's judged. The deed is done because you have Jesus' blood and Jesus' word. And therefore, Peter says, beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery trial when it comes upon you. For in baptism, the devil becomes your mighty and lifelong enemy, all because God has claimed you as his own. Baptism is God's own cosmic act of war. And so you see then that God works this way. God hides himself and his work under weak and unimpressive things. Under invisibility and silence, he hides the majestic warfare of his holy angels. Under a little water and word, he hides his assault on the devil's kingdom. With God, it's always hidden under weak and unimpressive things. And that's why so many do not believe. That's why many Christians only comprehend his work in part. They're looking for signs and wonders and the awesome deeds of God. But instead, God has clothed himself in humility. Like a king wearing beggar's rags, he comes to us as one of us to win us to his love. He clothes his majesty and comes dressed in lowly words preached by sinful lips. He clothes his majesty and comes dressed in the lowly water of baptism. He clothes his majesty and comes dressed in wine and unleavened bread. He is in the word. He is in the water. He is in the supper. And to the eyes and ears of men, it's all foolishness. Yes, it is, the scriptures say. It is the foolishness of God. For God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the mighty, the scriptures say. For the very God who clothes himself in the foolishness of word and water and bread and wine is the very God who clothes himself in the foolishness of human flesh. God Almighty comes into our world to save us, not in splendor and majesty and awe. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, and yet he comes to us clothed in the lowly flesh of a fetus. He who knits us together in our mother's wombs now comes to us in the womb himself. He who feeds us all now feeds from his mother's breast. He through whom the heavens and the earth are made must now have his diaper changed. It is the foolishness of God. He clothes himself in weak and foolish things, for he has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the mighty. And that, by the way, is why a crucifix hangs at the center of our chancel. Christ crucified is the most foolish thing of all. For how does God wage his final war against the devil and all the powers of hell? He gives his body over to be destroyed by whips and rods, nails and thorns. He bows his head in cruel death. This is how he fights? This is how he expects to win? What foolishness! The foolishness of God, by which he puts to shame the might of the devil. For as whip and rod, nail and thorn wounded his innocent flesh, the word of God came true. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Only by the shedding of his blood could he save you from your sins. Only by stretching out his arms on the cross could he snatch you out of the devil's arms forever. Only by bowing his head in death could he destroy the power of death and open the kingdom of heaven to all who believe in him. The foolishness of Christ crucified is the highest wisdom of God. For only by losing could he win. And winning means saving you, bringing you into his family forever, calling all prodigal sons back to his fatherly arms. This day of celebration and joy, this day of St. Michael and all angels, this day of Lexi Camberg's baptism, let us rejoice in the God who hides himself under unimpressive things. Let us rejoice in the God who hides himself in the weakness of human flesh and the foolishness of the cross. The God who clothes himself in the foolishness of preaching and the weakness of baptism and the lowliness of this supper. Though our eyes cannot see and our ears cannot hear, let us believe. For the day is coming when faith itself will come to an end. And with our eyes we will see, and with our ears we will hear, angels and archangels and all the company of heaven singing, "Blessing, honor, glory, and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, forever and ever. Amen."